This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people. Well, I did as you asked me. I listened to Beyonce.
Oh my God, I was going to ask you. And tell me.
I listened twice.
Okay.
Two times through.
Amazing.
I fucking loved one song. I'm so sorry.
No, no, it's an experience.
So the question I wanted to ask you that I'm just failing myself, and I think it might just be like it's totally not my genre of music, and I think the message was lost on me, and I think maybe I was hyper-focused on finding a message as well, and that might have altered my experience.
Sure, sure.
So the song that I fucking love, I've already told you that I fucking love, because as soon as I heard it...
It's my favorite, too.
Bodyguard, I think.
Incredible.
As soon as I heard it, I was like, this is where Sarah's taste in music and my taste in music meet in the middle.
And that is my favorite song on the album. Okay. I also love Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. Love that song. Just, it's fun. There's so many fun aspects to it. I love how Beyonce incorporated Black voices into this album. And I think it's so important, being a country album. Blackbird, that song, when she sings it, I sob, I cry, because it's so important to realize that song was written by Paul McCartney and it's about Black Bird. Bird in England is referred to
a woman.
Yeah, Bird in England is a woman. So I love, there's so many deep messages. I am not that deep.
I did find that song pretty powerful. And I also really enjoyed her rendition of Jolene, like the Dolly Parton one. You mentioned that I guess she's had some backlash.
Huge backlash. Yeah. How dare she change the lyrics to Jolene?
Dolly Parton was obviously a part of this song. And
she's getting the royalties.
Not only getting the royalties, but obviously supported it so much that she was there in the beginning. That is weird that there would be such back. I mean, okay, sorry, it's not weird. It's totally understandable because of the state of the world, but.
Correct.
That just is really surprising to me that there would be that much backlash.
Yeah. People just. Different is hard for a lot of people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for myself, I couldn't get into the music. And I do remember you saying, like, it's not about the music, it's about the message. But
the experience of it, I think, is just, it's like a Pink Floyd album in a way. Like, I don't know, there's something about it. It's not my favorite music of hers.
But it's my style message. More so.
Yeah.
But
I'm happy with that, though.
I definitely respect the talent and, like, the work and the creativity that went into it.
Yes, exactly. Creative genius. She really is.
She is. That's undeniable.
Changing genres. One genre at a time. Watch out, world.
Okay. Actually, thank you for the segue. Speaking of changing genres, have you heard who the newest Real Housewife of Beverly Hills might be?
Oh my God, I saw this and I forgot. That's not a good sign.
Ilaria Baldwin.
Oh, right. Oh, dude.
Okay. So I am not going to lie. I would love this. I would love this with every fiber of my being. Mm-hmm. I don't know how closely you have been following the Hilaria Baldwin and Alec Baldwin, like how he's going to trial and how she's basically certifiably insane.
Really?
Really.
Like,
Sarah, she pretended to be Spanish.
Oh, I know. Okay. I wasn't sure if she actually was certified.
No, she's not committed to an institution, but
What?
Oh, yes. No, she is certifiable. She has that. She's continued. She has carried on that vibe throughout the rest of her life. Like, she is not.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wild. So I would personally love to see that play out on Beverly Hills. And I know Kyle is like pushing for it.
Imagine her and Dorit competing for their accents.
Yep, that was one of my first thoughts.
We need it.
We need it. This would be the facelift that Beverly Hills needed. That might be what would make me so excited, would be to watch this train wreck happen.
I think we need more culturally inappropriate people on Bravo. Jesus.
I don't think it's ever going to happen, though, because I'm pretty sure Andy despises Alec Baldwin.
Really?
Yeah, his bestie.
I heard he's a dick, but...
Oh, the dickiest of dicks. Anderson Cooper, like, Alec Baldwin's super racist piece of shit as well. Which, you know what?
Really?
Bravo's not against. That's fine. Your husband Clearly. Can be a racist piece of shit. That's all good.
We are recapping the valley today, everyone.
However... He went on like this big racist rant, and I guess Anderson Cooper had a lot to say about it. So I would be surprised if his wife was brought on the show. But yeah, I would love to see that personally. I think that would just be the most amusing.
The two of them together, they should have their own show.
I want to see that. Well, no, they tried. They wanted to have their own show.
Oh.
They wanted to have their own show.
I
yeah.
That so. Bad. They're like, no, this would be highly viewed, but no.
Well, I mean, he's like being charged for murder, so.
Yeah, I guess it's really not something we should capitalize on.
I don't want to capitalize on it, but I want to watch it, so.
Remember the Johnny Depp trial days?
Oh my God. That was the first trial that got me into watching trials. You Same. And me would just be like messaging Obsessed. Each other every day. So, yeah, I will be very curious to watch that play out. I'm not going to be surprised if it doesn't happen, but I am not going to lie. I'm crossing my fingers that it does.
Okay, girl. I will cross my fingers for you as well.
Thank you.
Because we do need to spice that show up. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of chatter going on about the Potomac reunion. Have you watched?
No. And I Me said neither. That I was going to watch Same. The reunion. Same. I just can't bring myself to...
I tried, and I'm like, it's the same old stuff. I guess the takeaway is Mia is undeniably ridiculous, and the colorism issue has been brought up again. None of them want to talk about it. I will suggest, if you do want to listen to something about the colorism issues that have been going on, please go check out Carlos King's recap on it. They have a very good discussion, him and his guest, and I think it's a really important thing for white people particularly to learn
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Maybe I'll listen to the podcast instead of watching the reunion.
Good idea. Okay? Yes, that's what I've been doing.
All right, yeah. I'll do that. I did also just want to touch base on what we talked about last week. We had a lot of anger inside of our hearts for the men out there in the Bravoverse. I just wanted to say a special shout out to our male listeners. I want to make sure you guys know we think you guys are wonderful, fantastic, supportive, a fantastic addition to the Bravoverse.
I think it does take all sorts of voices, but the people we were referring to are the Tom Sandovals,
the Tom Schwartzes,
as we'll get into today.
Yeah.
Males that gaslight others and think their opinion is superior just because they're a man. So anyone listening to this is not like that. I know that.
Just wanted to throw that out there. And I guess we should also throw out the fact that we are doing a giveaway, you guys.
Guys, come on over to our Instagram, Hopeless Not Truthless Podcast. Go like and do all the things and follow the instructions.
We have a super cute little gift, and we are excited to send that out to one of you. Just kind of a thank you. Like, we've made it. I mean, we're past 100 episodes now, but neither of us can believe that we've got to where we are. I think we just can't believe that we actually stuck with it. So.
I know.
We're happy, and we wanted to share that happiness with you guys. So make sure you head on over there, and we want to give it to you. So, yeah. Anything else you want to add?
That's it. Let's just go bash Tom Schwartz now, please.
All right. Let's do that. Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 11, May the Best Woman Win. So we start things off. They're still on the beach. Listen, Brock needs to have several seats. What is this man doing? He puts on his, like, voice of reason tone of voice. I guess that's the reason we're supposed to think he's the voice of reason. I just said reason way too many times. And he tells Ariana that she and Tom are going tit for tat. And thank God she claps back with, I'm allowed to. He's not.
Dude, Ariana is so spot on. And this is exactly why this is so offensive to all of us. Mm-hmm. Tom is in a very passive-aggressive way going around trying to make Ariana seem like a horrible fucking partner. He literally has zero remorse, guys. Doesn't care. Does not care. He cheated. He's sorry he got caught. That is it.
Exactly. And as OG watchers of the show, every season there has been a person on the outs who basically has to claw their way back into the group. And we were all prepared and excited to watch Tom do that. And you know what we got? Not even a full episode of this man falling on the sword, of this man groveling, of this man doing anything. There was no come to Jesus moment. There was no aha moment or anything. We're having a forced redemption arc. So when I see somebody like Brock or Lala take up for this fucking piece of shit, it's annoying. It's going to be annoying. It's as if they think we're all imbeciles.
Exactly. Like, we have short-term memory loss.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I can't get over it. And they're embracing him, welcoming him back. But not just that. They're then turning on Ariana. And guys, I can't do it anymore.
Just hearing you say, like, I can't get over it. I can't get over it. And yet Ariana's supposed to be over it. Like, as a watcher, a viewer of the show, cannot get over it. And Ariana's supposed to be like, move on, let go, be the bigger person.
Thank God for Tom Schwartz, though, Narelle.
Oh.
Because he comes in and he just pulls his little friend away and he says, oh, guys, like, I'm such a hero.
He didn't pull him away. Tom Sandoval had stormed away, but then stopped and was watching it all 20 feet away.
Lurking.
On the beach. Lurking. Eavesdropping, making sure, like, did they buy it? Are they turning on Ariana? And then, as you say, Schwartz is like, I'm just going to take him to the bar. So Ariana expressed in a confessional here as well that she really hopes, you know, if these kinds of conversations are happening behind her back, that her friends are going to stick up for her and have her back and tell them to shut the fuck up, basically. And I wanted to be like, girl, Ariana, they're not. Like, I hope she's watching this and deleting their numbers from her phone.
Same. Who needs what's the saying?
Who needs
enemies?
Friends when you have enemies? What the fuck?
What's wrong with us? I can't think today. I think my eclipse is happening today.
Who needs enemies when you have friends like this?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that makes sense anyway.
It does make the most sense.
So Schwartz takes Tom to the bar to cool things down. Sandoval is immediately back bitching about the goddamn batteries again.
Oh, my God, why? I love the producer calling him out to you, like, dude, you just got ripped for this. Why are you saying it again?
And he doesn't even answer. He doesn't say there's no reason. He just lays in a little bit harder and says, well, I think Ariana is, like, gonna have, like, a real fucking hard time, like, when she gets out on, like, her own. That's not an answer. And also, let's be clear, Sandoval, you've probably never bought a fucking battery in your goddamn life. You had Anne go out and do it for you.
Exactly. He is such a pretentious piece of shit.
Okay, so Sheena was setting up Tori and Tom Schwartz. And it sounds like Katie swooped in to steal her. Now, I wasn't sure the hookup between Katie and Max was vindictive. Mm-hmm. Now I'm kind of wondering if that's, you know.
I didn't love this scene. I thought this was very fake.
This scene I did not think was fake.
When not Tori, this scene.
When the Tori whole... comes in, mm-hmm. yeah, yep, super fake. Super fake.
I don't like that because it's gay baiting. And I'm kind of sick and tired of that shit on our screen. A la Kyle Richards. Who else? There's another one.
Is there another one?
I'm just sick of it. Stop using this as a storyline. It's really insulting.
But it also makes you wonder how friendly Katie and Tom must be behind the scenes to have orchestrated that. Like, they must be a little bit more buddy-buddy if they're like, oh, let's come up with a little storyline here. I got to say, though, I watched the after show, and the way that everybody's talking about it is much less fake. There was an actual timeline presented, and they all talked about it in a way that was so much more believable than it is on this show. So that confused me. I don't know if maybe it was just like an awkward topic.
Maybe Tori was awkward, I thought.
Maybe. And like maybe it really was happening organically, but they had to recreate it on the show in a really inauthentic way. Or they're just better at acting on the after show. I don't know.
I definitely felt Tori was into Tom when she showed up at the bar. And she like sat down and she bossed him around and get me champagne and when are you going to ask me out? I believe that she was into Schwartz. I do.
That was probably the only moment I believed anything.
Yeah.
Then when Katie showed up and sat down, I was like,
so fake.
Dude. This is so fake. I'm so uncomfortable.
I saw a Twitter post and I was like, oh my God. They show a picture of them kissing and they both they show their nails and they're long pointed nails and they're like, oh yeah, this is so believable.
It's not anybody who knows that those are not the kinds of nails that women, loving women, usually rock. And maybe they were press-ons. Maybe they both have press-ons.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They seem like the press-on nail type.
And how about Sandoval with another super cringe attempt to hit on women? How did that fit with you?
Oh, this guy gives me the ick so bad. This whole episode when he went on the dating thing later, I'm like, oh, I would run for the hills.
He walked up to that table as if he was a server. He's holding his hands behind his back and he's like, hey, Mandy, or whatever her name was. Like, what would you like to get all your friends to drink? I would have been like, oh, okay, cool. Thanks. We'll have three
bottles of champs. Yes. Not the brute.
Has he ever hit on a woman before?
He doesn't have to, I think. And that is annoying, but probably true. I hate the fact that he's going in, buying women booze when he's sober too. Like, trying to get them drunk so they like it. I don't know. I don't like any of it. I
think he was getting real silly after all those water shots that he had. He was probably just feeling real loosey-goosey and went in there. Like, what was with the water shots?
Dude, water shots? Remember when they did that at Greek Easter at Angie K's in Salt Lake City?
When the kids did it. We all thought that was weird. Anybody doing water shots is weird.
Yeah. God, I can't do a shot for anything nowadays. My God.
Oh, God. So Lala, Sheena, and Ariana are sitting off alone talking about Tom. And Lala asks Ariana if she feels as if Tom threw her away. And instantly, Lala starts to cry herself because Lala is trying to make it obvious that she is relating to Ariana here because that's what Randall did to her.
Okay. Lala, your whole, trying to be a therapist vibe is wearing on me. You're grating on my nerves. Okay? Stop it. You're not trying to be a friend. You're trying to be a fixer, I guess? A therapist?
A snake.
Sorry. Well, that is well. I understand that Lala wants Ariana to move on. I feel like it really is all about the show for her, and she is producing. And guess what, guys? I hate listened to Lala's podcast yesterday. And she basically says it is. It is all about the show. So there you go.
Well, we do know that the producers sat them down at one point and basically said, you will integrate Tom back into the show. So they are being forced to do this. And I have been keeping that in mind. However, when I see scenes like this, when Sheena and Lala are sitting with Ariana and hugging her and crying with her and looking her in the eye and saying, you've done so well and you did the best thing. You took every opportunity. You kicked this breakup's ass. And they're commending her for how she's handling things. The way that they then go on to talk about her behind her back, you know, not only in their confessionals, but in their after show, on their podcasts this entire time, they've been slamming her. I think it's disgusting. And I want to jump here to the sperm bank conversation because this just shows the snake that I believe Lala is, the flip-flopper that she has become. Mm-hmm. Because to Ariana's face, she's like, I feel that. Like, I feel what you're saying. You know, I think what you're doing is great. I think you've done the best you can. And then behind her back, she's saying, you're not going to win this game. And I don't feel sorry for you because you're choosing to stay in the house.
It's all about the house for Lala. She can't get past it. It is driving me absolutely up the wall because it doesn't make sense. Lala, you don't make sense. You look like a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
She does. And this is what I've kind of figured out. I think it's because both of them are so unable to see past their own insecurities and their own desires. And so they're projecting it onto Ariana. Like, Sheena makes the comment of, I think Ariana, it just comes down to her pride. She's too proud to live in an apartment. Yep. No, Sheena, that's you.
That is you.
And like, by Lala's own logic, she moved out of her house with Randall that she never owned, that she never paid into, that she never helped create. She moved out of that house in the middle of the night. So she can't understand why Ariana's not doing that as well. And she's projecting that onto Ariana. And both of them are getting upset that Ariana's not moving the way that they would move. It's kind of childish.
It is. It's very disappointing for me because considering Lala went through something very traumatic, according to her, with Rand, you would think she would have the empathy to be able to understand where Ariana's coming from. I know Lala has a child. That makes her situation different. But guess what? Ariana has pets with Tom. She has a house she owns with Tom. I mean, Lala, you need to dig in deeper. It's pathetic that you can't. I cried in this scene when Ariana was talking to them, being vulnerable. I literally had tears coming down my face. It was so sad because it made me realize Ariana has no idea how Tom can cheat on her and now villainize her and react the way he is reacting. And that is pathetic. Yes, he cheated on her. What did Ariana do to him? She reacted to him. That is it. And he is now trying to turn the tables and say, look, this is what she's done. She never tidied up. She was a horrible partner. We never had sex. Okay, no one's a perfect partner, Tom. Ariana stood by you many a times when you were not a perfect partner. I'm sure the same goes for Ariana. But really, you have no empathy. And Lala, same with you. Sorry, Sheena, you're pretty close too.
Like, imagine if Randall was invited to that beach party or to the water party. Like, how do you think Lala, little miss, it's been how long now? 3 years? I don't know how since she's broken up with Randall.
Yeah, probably, because I think Ocean just turned 3 and it was very shortly.
It's been 3 years, so I guess that things have, she's just totally moved on and would be totally cool because that's what she's expecting Ariana to do 4 months afterwards. Like, they are condemning Ariana for reacting to what Tom did. They're giving our, like, everyone's coming down on Ariana for her reaction than they are for what Tom did.
For his actions.
Yeah.
It's sick. It's a really, really disgusting and bullying behavior. When you really, really think about it.
If Lala had shared a house with Randall, I truly believe she would still be in court fighting that out.
1 million.
Like tooth and
nail. Send it to Darlene all day long.
Exactly. They're unable to see past their own noses. They're so self-centered. It is maddening.
It is maddening. I feel like we say the same thing every week with these two. And Tom, like, Lala doesn't give a shit anymore. I think he cheated either. She just wants to move on and have a good time filming the show. Sheena is a little less obvious about it, but it's really, oh my God. Okay.
Sheena changes by the week. And even as she's talking to Lala, like, she takes every opportunity to laugh in a really mean way about Ariana behind Ariana's back. So yeah. I don't see the goodness there. I don't see the good.
No.
Neither of them are soft. Okay. Oh, neither of them are good. So let's move on here to
Lala and Joe eating hot dogs.
Yeah. To the hot dogs. To Joe and Lala meeting up at a big old wiener on the side of the road. I wanted to ask you, why do you think Schwartz told Joe specifically to talk to Lala?
Oh, I think Lala is the only in at this point. Typically, it would be Sheena, but I think even Sheena would be like, no, no, that won't look good for me. But Lala's like, sure, because she's out there running the show.
She's having her flip-flop era. She thinks she's in her soft era, but she is the biggest, yeah, as you said, open door to getting back into the group. Go to Lala, which had you asked me last season, never would have ever expected that to be Lala.
I would honestly predict Schwartz would say, go meet up with Katie instead of Lala last season.
And Joe Baldface lied.
Liar.
She didn't know Tom and Rachel were hooking up, is what she told Lala.
Uh-huh.
She said, I'm watching Schwartz. But then in the confessional, she says, mm-hmm. To be honest, I thought he and Ariana had broken up. So, like, which one is it, Joe? Did you think they were broken up when Ariana welcomed you into their shared home to have Thanksgiving dinner?
You know, I'm wondering if this is where the whole open relationship came from. No, we figured that out, didn't we, last year?
Did we? I don't remember.
I think we may have, but this could have been a part of that. So maybe that's what Joe was referring to. But regardless, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't matter at all. She contradicts herself. There's no way you were so fixated, even you, Joe, there's no way you were so fixated on Tom Schwartz that you missed the fact that Tom and Rachel were hooking up beside you or like being romantic beside
you. Of course.
Zero chance.
Come on. We saw Joe's intelligence at the end of this episode. So nice try, lady.
And then instead of getting to the bottom of T-Money and Joseph, producers were like, nope, this scene is over and let's go golfing instead. Like, we move on. They keep cutting the ends off of scenes that I want to see.
Yeah, totally they do. But I gotta say, this whole golf scene was the best scene of the episode. I cackled. I was loving this dynamic I want to show with this group of people. It was so good.
I think James is at his best with women.
Yeah, Narelle. I wrote the same thing. I'm like, James is actually a girls' guy.
Girls' guy. He really is. And he loves it. I think he enjoys it so much. And that's why it's so fun to watch. He gets right into asking about Tori and whether or not it was intentional to take her from Schwartz. And he's the only one who's kind of like, you guys, this is weird. It's like really weird. How is nobody else? It is.
He killed me when he took his swing and missed entirely. He's such TV gold.
Yeah. He really is. I always have to like really try and remind myself that he is probably a piece of shit.
I know.
It's hard.
But let's just have fun.
Yeah. I'll cut that out.
No.
No? Okay, I'll leave it in.
Let's just have fun, or I'll cut that.
So it sounds like a bunch of them are going to go paintballing, and I fucking love that Ariana points out that Sandoval has his own paintball outfit. Like, that is just the most Sandoval-y thing.
Die.
I was so excited to see what this outfit was going to be, because everything this guy does is for attention. It's to be performative. It's not that he actually loves paintball so much. It's that he loves to dress up for it.
It kind of reminded me of his Special Forces gear.
Yeah.
I never watched that show, but that's what the vibe it gave me. I'm like, oh yeah, this is so Tom.
We also find out here that Ariana made a counter offer on the house. And is now waiting to hear back from Tom. So this is only like five months after.
Yeah. There you go.
And she's made a counteroffer. So why is everybody losing their goddamn minds about her digging her heels in and stalling? Like, obviously it did take them longer to actually, you know, make a move and sell or whatever. I don't know about you, but to me, 4 or 5 months seems pretty reasonable.
Absolutely. It does. It's totally fine. Especially because Ariana got everything assessed. And I did see a little snippet in the after show, because we don't get it in Canada, of course, or Peacock. Ariana, like, claimed the furniture she wanted. And I think she left some things there. But what she said that they bought together for the home, she would like to be donated.
Yeah. I think we can watch the whole after show. How long is the after show?
I don't even know where to get it.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah.
Bleeping heck.
It's like half an hour.
Oh, well, fuck that. Okay. Well, now I'm just an ignoramus.
No, you're not. Because I watched the after show and Tom is pissed about the counter offer.
Good.
Pissed. Because Ariana wants a mirror that Tom thinks is his and belongs to him. Do we see the hypocrisy here, people? The roles are reversed, and now it's Tom being petty about something materialistic, and yet nobody's batting an eye.
No, and we don't see that on the fucking show, do we? And this is the problem, where it's like, Tom is getting the good edit. Tom has probably made this process incredibly hard, but we don't see that.
Where is everybody telling him to let go and move on and move out and just drop it and be the bigger person? Don't worry about this materialistic stuff. Let's just get you out of there, Tom. Mm-hmm. And have you heard about what Lala said about Ariana's new house?
No.
Totally belittled it, demeaned it. I mean, just short of calling it a dump, just some little three-bedroom place, like in the hills. Like, it's kind of, you know.
Oh, right across from the Hollywood sign in those hills, Lala. How dare you?
I know.
This is unbelievable to me. Okay. Okay. Ariana cannot win. Ariana, talk to Tom. Okay, Ariana, no. When you talk to Tom, you can't talk to Tom like that. Ariana, move out of the house. Ariana, your house is a dump. What the hell?
That is exactly the vibe. That's exactly what she's doing.
Fuck you, Lala.
So Lala gets her mom to either help her pay for a house or pay for her whole $3 million house. I don't know. I know the mom's involved. And then she has the fucking audacity to shit on Ariana for buying her own home in the hills because it's old.
Dude, that's dirty.
She's such a dirty bitch. I'm sorry. She is.
Fuck you, Lala.
Yeah. So speaking of dirty bitches, let's head over to the hairdressers with Joe and Schwartz. And Joe finally has her hair done nicely. I will say that.
Well, she's at work. She's a professional, you know?
Is she?
Beep-bop, beep-bop, boop, bop.
Is she a professional? That's
well, she is a professional because she made Tom Schwartz look undateable. So
that was a professional troll because I think she must have done it on purpose. However, I noticed some things in this scene. Now, I'm not a hairdresser, but her technique, we need to talk about it.
Oh.
I need to know if any of our listeners are stylists and if they can confirm my suspicions here. But first of all, she was bleaching his roots to begin with, which I know is a no-no because your roots are going to lift a lot faster than the bottoms of your hair.
Right.
So she fucked him there.
Especially with all those grays he's got going on.
Sounds like this man has a head full of white hair. Second of all, she takes the cap off and she's like raking her hands through bleach barehanded.
Yeah, well, you know, she needs that human connection. Human, I use that word liberally.
Thirdly, the stylist beside her was side-eyeing them the whole time and then breaks into the conversation and she's like, how's your head? And Tom is like, it's kind of burning. And she's like, well, should we check it? And Joe says, oh, whatever. Have you ever had another stylist abandon the person they're working with beside you to step in and be like, should we check her color? Because to me, that's alarm bells. That's alarm bells in my head.
Jesus H. No.
I don't think she's either being supervised by that woman. I don't think she's like a full hairstylist.
Maybe she's in training.
She must be.
Typically, you're not supposed to go from... I mean, we're not going to call that blonde, shall we?
Well, he was brown. He had brown hair.
Yeah. So we don't go from brown to blonde.
To whatever that was.
Yeah. Like, I'm calling it blonde, but it's more orange. But, like, you don't do that in one go, typically. It's quite a process. So, yeah.
And Schwartz sure enjoyed the idea of Joe coming to the singles event, didn't he? Super stoked. He was super stoked.
I can't with this guy this episode. Wow.
I can't with her either.
Really?
Okay, we'll get into it at the end here.
Okay, let's talk about the sperm bank.
We already talked about the sperm bank. Did you have anything else to say about it?
Oh, okay. I have a couple things. Sheena in the baggy jeans and the black tank top and the sneakers. I fucking love this look on her. I had to say it.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Oh my God. I thought she looked so good. The best ever.
Oh, wow.
And then you have like Lala in her Jackie O wool blazer and skirt.
Yeah, see, that's what I was looking at.
In the summer, I'm like, oh dear God, to the sperm bank of all places. That Brian guy, oh dear God, he made me like uncomfortably laugh and blush, and I was so awkward. And he's like, well, Lala, I'm here to make it as good and as easy as possible, and maybe there will even be a laugh along the way.
That part did feel a little corny, as well as the part where he left his own office to let them talk. It was like, this is so weird. Like, no doctor ever would be like, okay, well, take your time. Here's you guys have the room now. It was weird. Let's move on to the girls going out for drinks. Katie is filling them in on her date with Tori. And I feel like she was about to tell them that Tori gave her the ick, because when we see her on the date with Tori and they're talking about Bob Ross and the fact that this little girl doesn't know that videotapes and video cameras were around when Bob Ross was, like, you see the classic Katie eye roll, side eye. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, like, what's penne versus
exactly,
rigatoni?
Exactly. Yeah. You cannot think that you cannot date a man who doesn't know what penne or whatever was, and then be able to date somebody like Tori who doesn't know that Bob Ross was alive with video cameras.
Okay, Tori is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. But she looks like a 14-year-old girl in PE class all the time. Like, I don't understand. I feel like it's inappropriate. It makes me have the ick just watching it, actually.
Yeah. She's maybe, like, she is beautiful, but she looks young and she acts young. Yeah. And yeah. So maybe, yeah. I mean.
Definitely not for Katie.
I would think it was just a physical thing except for the fingernails. So yeah. I just don't know what's going on here.
Fake, and I don't like this direction, guys. It sucks.
Now I want you to watch the after show to see if you believe.
I'm going to, because that's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable.
I'll send you the YouTube links. Like, okay, apparently Katie liked her first.
Whoa. I mean, okay.
Simultaneous to the girls going for drinks, the boys with Joe are going to the singles mixer. I loved Tom's reaction to Schwartz's hair. He's like, whoa, thought it was just really short.
Thought it was shaved on the side, dude.
Everybody obviously thinks it's hideous, except for Joe, who cannot stop running her fucking fingers through it. Totally not laying claim to him whatsoever.
Oh, yeah. She's marking her territory.
Yeah. Also, all three of them with the lollipops, the suckers. And the way that Joe was, like, unable to take her hands off of him and unable to, was just really funny. Like, I have felt like that a few times in my life and required a lollipop. They're very specific times that you have indulged in something. That's what I'm going to say. It just struck me as weird. All three of you with the lollipop.
Well, it would not strike me as weird. Those guys, I felt really bad for Joe all over from this point in the episode onward. I really didn't like to see it. I also felt really bad for Katie because fuck you, Lala. This bullshit.
What was this?
Oh, she's so nasty about it, too. Katie's like, whoa, this girl's nothing to you. I'm something to you. Why did you go meet up with Joe?
And she has no reply, really, other than it's my life and I'll do what I want.
And I'm soft now, Katie. I'm soft. What does that even mean?
If you have to tell somebody repeatedly, and especially with that tone of voice, and like basically yell at them that you're soft, it's because you're not. If you're so soft, like, they'd already know it.
Yes. This was just so wrong. I gotta say, I wish Ariana stood up for Katie here, and she didn't. She stayed quiet, and I thought, there's Sheena standing up for Lala. Okay, go, Ariana, go. She needs to do that a little more, I think.
This was definitely a moment where I believe Katie would have stood up for Ariana, so it would have been definitely nice to see the reverse. And we have seen that. She has. So hopefully maybe that got cut out, I don't know, to make Ariana look worse.
Yeah, good point.
So let's hop over to the boys again. I love that at this point, Schwartz has put a hat on over his hair.
Good call.
Was that to like thwart Joe from touching it, or because he was so embarrassed by it? I don't know. Both, maybe. Right? Kill two birds?
Defo.
And then he gives it to a girl that he's flirting with. And Joe pops up like a little marmot. And she's like, excuse me, I couldn't help it over here because I was trying to. Did you just give her your hat? Because last time I checked, that was your only one.
Poor Joe.
Yeah, I did feel bad for Joe in this scene in some ways. Mainly because, well, Schwartz is a piece of shit. We already know that. But the similarities I'm seeing between the way he's treating Joe and the way that he used to treat Katie.
Exactly.
Mind blowing. Unbelievable. I mean, pretty believable, actually.
Well, yeah. Yes, it is. It's not unfathomable. Fuck you, Schwartz. You have told Joe you love her. You're still sleeping with her. You're hooking up with girls in front of her now. And you're doing all of this pretending to be Mr. Nice Guy. The mask has slipped. You have been revealed. I want to crush you.
The way he was wondering, like, I don't know, like, is it fair to be this close to Joe while continuing to see other people and have sex with other people and date other people? And he feels bad, but he's still going to do it.
Narelle, the rate. Okay. We have all met douchebags like Tom fucking Schwartz, okay? Mm-hmm. But these dudes were in their teens or 20s or 30, not 40 fucking years old still acting like this. Get a grip and grow the fuck up, you gaslighting pig. I'm so disgusted with you and how disrespectful you were to Joe, to Kate, all women. You're just, go date Sandoval at this point.
God, I fucking wish. I mean, that's true love.
That'd be karma for both of them.
The thing I struggle with is when they get the green wristbands, like every opportunity for Schwartz to say in public in front of Joe that he's single. And like she says she's single.
Right. That's true.
I don't think she was blindsided by this, I guess, is the only thing. Like in
like private. Was?
Yeah, like Lindsay Hubbard. In private, I absolutely 100% believe that Schwartz is saying, like, I'm in love with you. You're the best thing. And let's have some more sex and blah, blah, blah. But if you go to a singles mixer, like, she seemed very confused.
She did seem very confused.
But at the beginning of the singles mixer, they're all talking about how they're all single and they're all putting on a green wristband. And I feel like that would have been maybe the time to throw up a hand and be like, well, you're not, Schwartz.
It makes me feel like they have an agreement because when they're alone later,
I wonder.
She says, are you embarrassed of me in front of your friends? Yeah.
And she also made the comment about, like, he wants to hide our relationship. Like, she says relationship.
Yeah. And I bet he does. I bet behind the scenes they are a couple or acting like one. And that, honestly, sometimes is enough for women, like, to make us think this guy does love us. He tells her he loves her. And I believe Joe. When she was saying all of those things and the way she was calling him out, I'm like, that is a woman who believed you loved her. That is a woman who has been hurt by you. That is a woman scorned. It is ridiculous. She's trying to lead this horse to water, but he's like, nay.
No.
It was just awful to watch.
If you didn't watch the entire after show, then maybe you didn't see this part.
Oh. Am I going to have to go back on everything I just said?
No, if you're about to get angrier if you didn't see this. So Katie and Ariana discuss the similarities between what Schwartz did to Katie versus his breadcrumbing with Joe. Have you heard of breadcrumbing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. For anybody who hasn't, breadcrumbing is like leading a person on. You give them just enough to feed them, just enough so they don't die or wither away, but you don't actually ever want to be with this person. So they're kind of comparing that to the way that Schwartz was with Katie. And then Ariana points out that two people have flown to Schwartz's hometown to meet his family, Katie and Sandoval. And now there's a third, and it was Joe.
No.
Ariana says, you know what? In Joe's shoes, like in that situation, I myself would also think the only other woman to have met his family is his ex-wife. So obviously he does love me. Obviously I am in a relationship with this man. Whoa. Obviously I am important. Yeah.
Oh my God, I honestly felt so sorry for Joe because like it made me tear up. And I could see, like, how disrespectful he was treating her. And actually, did you see Schwartz, what he put out on Insta?
Oh, I saw he made, like, a little post about, like, giving himself grace.
Yes, I took a screenshot of it. This episode, I'm trying to give myself a little grace, given I felt like my whole life was in shambles. It was. And my brother's life was in peril. But good gosh, Schwartz, I'm watching back like, get your shit together, man. Sit up straight and communicate effectively, concisely. Snap out of it, son. My inner Sergeant Hartman is heated. Also, remember that episode of Seinfeld? Oh, whatever. I don't care about that.
Well, he goes on to talk about his hair. Like, what do you think of my hair between 1 and 10?
Yep.
At no point does he say, I feel really bad that I gaslit and manipulated this woman for so long.
Exactly, Narelle. Like, he's saying, wow, Schwartz, like, watching yourself really sucks. You are an asshole. But, like, sorry, not sorry. I don't know.
And then just talks about his hair and how he's attractive some days and unattractive other days. So...
my God.
Also, in the after show, Brock and James agree that Tom was leading her on purpose because he loves the attention, but also loves to be able to make out with whoever he wants at the bar. And Brock even warned Schwartz about doing it. He was like, dude, you have to be careful.
Oh. So. I mean, Brock's married to Sheena. He knows what crazy looks like.
Okay? He does know.
That was a warning.
Schwartz confirmed as well that he and Joe are basically not really friends anymore. So big shock there. He says they're super cool, but a significantly watered down version of what they used to be. And like she's seeing somebody and he's seeing somebody and they're all happy. But and I'm like, go fuck yourself.
How old is Schwartz's partner? You're all like 20?
Yeah. Or? Early 20s. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. He's a fucking idiot. He's a real fucking idiot. Like the only two women who have ever truly loved you.
Yes.
And that's the way you treat them.
Exactly. And you could see Joe really, really trying to get him there, like lead him, make him realize, like, imagine when we're old and laughing and joking. Yeah. And he's like, I know, right? Like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey, bye. I don't want to date you. Ever. I don't want to date anyone.
The way he chases her out the door and he's like, Joseph. He might as well have been saying, Bubba. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's the exact same. This man cannot be in a relationship with love.
He shouldn't be, ever.
No. And my only stumbling block with Joe and the fact that I just can't quite get there with her is the fact that I 100% believe she knew about Scandoval and was privy to it and didn't care. That's the only thing that keeps me from being like, this woman is a total victim, because I can't get over that. But...
that's
I do think that what he did to her, 100% wrong, and he's a piece of shit.
Well, I honestly believe that Joe is so in love with Tom Schwartz that the only way she could hang out with Schwartz was if it were with Sandoval and Rachel, and she didn't care. She was going to take what she could get. Yeah. You can see it. She loves him so much. It's really sad.
It is. Ugh, girl needs better taste. I want to know who she's dating now.
Yeah, right? Hopefully it's a winner.
Yeah, but that is the end of it for this week.
I have to say one thing.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm really chatty today. Sheena is like the Angie K of Vanderpump Rules.
Why? Glasses? Was she wearing glasses?
Well, the glasses. When I saw her sitting there, I'm like, oh my God. It's so reminiscent. Like, hello, Meredith. I don't know. There's something about her that is just so kooky, just like Angie. And I like it.
I could see it.
Anyway, that's my thoughts. Goodbye.
I don't know if I like it, but.
No. Angie is a much better human.
Yeah, I think maybe. Angie's a better Angie for sure.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if she's a better human. I don't know. Maybe.
I hope so.
But yeah, that's it.
Goodbye.
Let's do the valley.
Let's do the valley. Okay, The Valley, season 1, episode 4, Capri Chaos. What do you think? Was it chaos?
It was a little chaos because I flopped. I think last week we were talking about how Kristen's, you know, big troublemaker and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm thinking it's Janet.
Oh, bitch. Janet got some splaining to do, in my opinion.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, was Kristen and the comment she made about how do you bring up this racist shit?
Oh, my God.
It was... That was such a Kristen thing to say.
Kristen is so performative, but I believe that's actually who she is. I don't think it's a fake performative. She's so over the top.
I don't necessarily think she's performative in like the way that Sandoval is performative.
Right.
I think she is a professional reality star. Like she is Maybe. Reality gold. She knows exactly what to do. Like she brought this up because she knew it was going to be a big thing. The way that she handles it, she is reality professional. We should study her. She needs to give classes.
That's a very good point. Like I was dying when Michelle is calling out Kristen for her face that she's making. She's like, that face right there. That's why nobody feels sorry for you. You're trying to be a victim, but I am the victim. And Kristen's just sitting there with this pouty face.
Like, she's really good at what she does. That's what I think.
Yeah, good point.
The thing that really surprised me here, I don't know if it should have, but it was Jax mentioning that he and Janet are very similar in the way that they both like to spew some shit and then sit back and watch them tear it down. So, like, he also says Janet is a silent killer. Coming from Jax.
Uh-huh. That's dangerous.
Yeah. Those are words. That's a sentiment from a person that you kind of need to listen to.
Well, Janet's best friends with Sheena, I think. So
is she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I heard that. That could be fake, but.
Okay. Well, I think she has been on the podcast a few times.
Right. Yes.
Then we see Zach and Kristen sitting down to hash it out. And there's this clip of sneaky little Janet hiding behind the corner eavesdropping, and she has this weird little smug smile on her face as everybody is fighting.
Oh,
this is where I flip-flopped the fuck out of this. I don't know these people well enough to know yet like who the liar is, but now my gut is telling me it's Janet.
Okay, I'm with you, because even Luke's like, Janet, I heard you say this on speakerphone. And I'm like,
Luke does strike me as somebody who would lie about that though for his partner.
You think?
I do. I think Luke's a ride or die for whoever, like.
That could be. But it's so specific.
It is. I don't think he was lying. I just think he could.
It does make sense. There's one thing about Kristen. I do think she lies, but I don't think she's a liar. I think she lies by accident.
Oh, okay. I see. I was like, what does that mean?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like so believable to her that she says it. But in this case, I don't think it is a lie. Because you know why? It is very, very obvious to me that Michelle and Jesse and the rest of the group just want Kristen to take it back publicly.
Yeah.
They're like, take this off camera, okay? Just take it back off camera. We'll talk about it after. Because I know I'm a piece of shit. So just make it go away.
I 100% agree with you here. It is all about the fact that this came out on camera. And I think also that Kristen is apologizing, but she's never getting past the part of the apology where she says, I'm apologizing that I repeated something.
Right.
I really do
think.
She won't
let it go.
No, I really do think something was said here. And it seems to be that everybody's dropping the fact that it was a homophobic statement. As soon as it was cleared up that it's not a racist statement, everyone's like, okay, let's move on. And I'm like, no, let's go back. Let's go back to what was said that was homophobic. I want to hear more about that. And they're like, let's move on.
But I have a feeling that's why Zach said it to Kristen in the first place. Obviously, he's going to be offended by that, right? So, or worried or what have you. Like, what the fuck, Michelle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're letting that go. So I don't know, this whole Janet, Michelle, they're kind of on the same level for me at this point. How is Kristen higher than anyone right now is beyond me.
I don't know. I did not see that coming.
I don't feel good about it.
I will say, I think the two that are rising to the top of this mess, I don't know, like the cream that's rising to the top here is Nia and
Danny.
They seem to be actually the best couple. They're
normal.
The only people who like each other. They are like the nicest people.
The nicest people. They really are. And I believe that they are. And but why they're still friends with people like
Jax,
it just doesn't track. So obviously there's a wild side or whatever, an intrigue, if you will, which I think is more on Danny's part. I mean, he is an actor after all. So let's just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Mm. Mm. Maybe he's just really good at acting good.
Yeah. Well, he must like the spotlight.
They both must. I mean, why would you go on a reality show with like three little babies? How fucking stressful. You must want to be on the show.
I have one six-year-old and I'm not even function.
So Jax and Brittany are addressing what's going on with Cruz. Thank God Jax is on the case with his research.
Oh, jeez. This
kid's in good hands. Like, Jax's only redeeming quality is that he loves his child. Yes. I will say that. Like, that is probably his only good quality, literally.
And he seemed actually much more open than Brittany did towards the whole situation.
Yeah.
Brittany's doing that mom thing where it's like, she even said it, you don't want your kid to struggle. And I completely understand where she's coming from, but denying that anything's wrong is not helping. So I do appreciate Jax being a little bit of a pit bull with this. So hopefully things work out there.
I mean, they are getting him speech therapy. Personally, I was thinking Brittany should probably get some for herself. Maybe with that mouth. What is happening? I can't.
I feel so bad. I've always thought Brittany was beautiful. I have also always thought Brittany is dumb as a bag of rocks, but... My God, that scene with Danny and her setting up Kristen and Luke's apartment where she's like, hi, Danny. Like, she can't even fucking talk, bro. I'm like, come on.
I can't even feel bad. It actually makes me feel angry. I don't know why, but irrational anger washes over me when I watch her talk.
I think it's because she was so stunning. She's still so young. She got those huge boobs for Jax. She probably all of this for Jax. It is infuriating.
The boobs, too. I'm sorry.
The boobs are so bad.
When she's on that couch in the orange dress, when the boobs are like attacking her face, they're conjoined at the top. They're not even separate breasts. She needs to have those removed immediately. She needs to fix her fucking chin. Why would you have done this and gone on TV? Like, I would never say this about somebody who was born that way.
I know. Or botched, even. Like, can we consider this being botched?
I think she is absolutely botched.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel sorry for her if that's the case, but I think she should address it. Honestly, but she's playing like it's fine. So,
well, she hasn't addressed it on the show, but she did address it after. But yeah. I feel like she needs to address it every episode because every episode I see her face and I'm like, what is wrong with your mouth?
I feel like it's getting worse too. Like that whole scene was with Danny, just she couldn't open her mouth. Like,
no,
she can speak properly.
So, yeah, speech therapy. Maybe, maybe not just for kids. Maybe. Mother-son duo date could be fun.
It really makes me sad because then Jax is over there telling his boys, like, yeah, the spark's gone. I'm like, okay.
So he's fully cheating on her.
He has to be.
You're telling me Jax only had sex twice this year?
Uh-huh.
Good point. Like, he's fully cheating on her. He has to be. He tries to play it off as if they're having intimacy issues because of having the child, which I think is a common theme within marriages. I just don't buy it that is what's going on between the two of them. I think he's not attracted to her. I mean, we know he's not. He has said he's not before they even got married. Okay, so that does not improve after you get married. Sad. And then after you have the stress of a child.
That's right. Your body changes and all sorts of things happen when you carry a child to your body, to your hormones, to your brain. And yeah, he's like, sparks have fizzled. Well, okay. Then let her free. She went on the podcast recently, like yesterday. Oh. Apparently people are like, okay, well, you knew what Jax was like when you married him. But apparently it seems pretty legit.
What is legit?
This separation. Because you know how we always thought, like,
for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering now if they separated before the show even started and if their being together was for the show.
Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't see much between them at all here. I mean, obviously, maybe we're also capturing the beginning of the breakdown, the before the storm type thing, but. Yeah.
Well, and her mom is there right now as well. So Jax might just be.
Maybe. Yeah.
Surfacing. Yeah.
So Michelle and Jesse are also discussing the text that Kristen sent them that I feel as if Michelle probably should have kept to herself. Because now we're all wondering, what's Kristen hiding for you?
Oh my God. Your secrets are safe with me, Michelle.
And this is why Kristen is the queen of reality TV. She did that on purpose.
And Michelle fell for it. For the sake of my own mental health. It's epic. I'm sorry.
She's so good at it. I loved the two of them, Michelle and Jesse, giggling and flirting over their shared aggression kink for each other. Like, they both get off on the other one being aggressive.
So poignant.
Okay, this is crazy. This is just maybe out of left field here. I wanted to hear what you thought of this little conspiracy theory of mine. What do we think are the possibility, or what do we think is the possibility that the thing Kristen is hiding is that Michelle cheated? And that's why they end up getting divorced. We all think it's because of Jesse. But what if Michelle cheated?
That was my first thought.
Shut up. Really?
Because Brittany also said, like, Kristen has said she knows information that could ruin people's lives.
And I swear to God, there was some preview or some clip where it's talking about Michelle sending nudes or something, or
yeah. Oh my God, you're triggering a video memory.
This was a while ago.
Okay.
So let's stick a pin in that, but let's not dismiss it entirely because maybe we're onto something here.
I could see it.
Yeah,
she's hot.
She's hot, and she deserves to be with a fucking man who's not a piece of shit. However, Kristen and Luke also talking simultaneously about how Kristen and Zach have made up and that they've both realized that they're pawns in Janet's little game of destruction, which I think comes into play a little bit later with Zach, who I think is playing two sides here, little Mr. Two-Faced.
He is, but he also kind of tries to make Kristen make up with Michelle and Jesse in an attempt to be like, trust me, it's not us, guys. It's that pregnant one over there.
Yeah, I thought it was coming from a place of guilt, that he felt guilty for throwing Kristen under the bus and was trying to, like, fix the situation. But before we get to that, let's just quickly touch on old man Marley with his giant 32-year-old penis.
Dude.
That people, like...
No.
Why did she say that? Why did she say that?
Stop. My ears are bleeding. I can't hear about them fucking or how many rounds or how big his dick is. The whole thing just, it screams trying too hard.
Okay? Yes. People who talk like that, in my experience, are not actually having sex.
Or they are, but it's not good.
It's disgusting. I don't want to hear about your 32-year-old giant penis or that you guys banged it out on the massage bed.
Ew. I can't. It gave me the ick worse than anything else.
I know.
They're not on the same page, though, hey?
No, like, they both say that they communicate so well, and yet they're unable to reach a decision about where they're going to live. They're gonna have a baby before deciding where to live.
And money. They're not on the same page with that either.
They get to a point of, like, actually talking about this, and Kristen's like, just trust me, okay? I'm great at this. I have to go to the bathroom. And she gets up and walks away.
Look at all my other successful relationships, sweetie.
I know. Like, don't worry about it. I got it. Okay, so let's just make that baby.
Yeah, dude, this is going to work out real bad. And it's going to be bad for both of them, I think. But maybe it's so bad it works.
Maybe.
Like, she does seem to really love him, but she's like that with all of her dudes, so.
Yeah.
So we get to the fundraiser, the gala. And right out of the gates, I have to say, Jax was legit pissed about that mac and cheese ball that Britt snatched.
Oh, girl. Not just pissed, he seemed disgusted.
Disgusted. At first, I'm like, oh.
What did she say? She was like, oh, I'm hungry. I'm so hungry or something. And he was like, so are the rest of us.
In disgust. Like disgust. A parent.
Yeah.
Disciplining a child for eating too much candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not great.
No, not a good
look. Did not love that.
I died when Jesse got out of that limo and the editing that
we all did.
That happened.
Wow.
Willy Wonka has arrived.
That was an interesting choice to wear. Yeah.
And he's so arrogant. You know, it just was so perfect, actually.
Oh, my God. It was.
So what did you think about Luke not coming? Do you think the dog actually had the poo-poos?
Well, at first I thought she said that he had diarrhea.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. I mean, you can't really argue with that. You know, when someone has diarrhea, it is what it is. You can't expect them to come to an event like this. And then I found out it was the dog. Jill. And I was like, that's weird. Like, did they make the choice from a good perspective? Like, let's keep you out of the line of fire. Let's keep you home because you're too fired up. Don't want you to say anything that's gonna, or was it because they were scared? I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't really know either, but I do think it was pre-planned because Kristen was talking about what she was going to wear. And then Luke goes, I know what I'm going to wear. And she goes, oh, to be a man? Like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
But I feel like he was going to be wearing his sweats at home.
Oh.
On the couch.
Oh.
Good. I'm kind of glad Luke wasn't there. I needed a break from that 32-year-old day. I don't want it. I don't want to see it or think about it.
At least we all got the rundown of their sex that happened after the massage on the table. There was no massage. They used the table, though, to have sex on, just so everybody knows that there was sex that was had, and it was on the table, and with a big penis, and it happened a lot of times, and Kristen... was really excited.
Oh my God, no, make it stop.
Why? No, who talks like that? I could never.
Was ovulating. Like, are you kidding me?
He shot right inside of me and I kept it inside of me. And I really just kept it in there and I let it marinate. And okay. I laid down. Why are you this? I'm just repeating what she said on TV.
Oh.
I don't think I would tell you that.
Never. Nope.
The reason I wouldn't tell you that is not because I'm like uncomfortable to tell you. It's because I know you don't want to hear it.
Exactly. Like, go get it, girl. Like there's some people who are very into that, talking about their sex lives and stuff like that. And that's fine. But like, I don't care. Okay. I don't.
Like, I am not interested in hearing about your sex life, Kristen, to that degree.
To that degree.
I want to hear a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Like, I'm ovulating. I prop myself up on a massage. Like, okay, anyway.
No.
We don't
and
need
then
to
I
know.
Kept my legs down and...
Yes, right.
No.
No.
Stop it.
To the whole table Stop at it. A gala. A fundraiser.
Makes me want to, like, roll up some newspaper and swat her. Like, naughty little dog. Like, stop it. Stop humping my leg is the feeling.
So this is the point. Okay, I'm just going to move on. So this is the point where Zach apologizes to Michelle.
Right.
And this is also the point where Michelle totally admits, basically, I don't really care what they said, just that they said it on camera. Obviously not in those words, but it was so clear to me.
I just found this very two-faced. He is, again, like behind Kristen's back here, pretending to be against Kristen. Like, oh, well, she could have sat at our table. That would have been fine. And like apologizing to Michelle and everything when Kristen's not there. Because he's different with Kristen. He's different to Kristen's face than he is to everybody else.
I think he's actually who he is with Kristen.
With Kristen, yeah.
Yeah. He's not totally Jesse and Michelle's caliber, okay?
No.
They would never be hanging out with him. I'll assure you of that. What did you think when Michelle told us that Jesse was a booty call that never went away?
All right. First of all, how close are these people, really, that they didn't know how Jesse and Michelle met?
Yeah. Who asked that? Was it Jasmine?
I don't remember who asked, but no, I'm like, I thought you guys were supposed to be these like great friends. And this is the first time you're finding out how your friends met. But okay, let's say that that's legit. Yeah, did not love that. I did love the way that Michelle said, I knew he wasn't the one, so you married him. Okay. Yeah. It's good. Good call. That sounds like it was a great decision and it worked out well for you.
Okay, Brittany Jr. is where I'm at in this situation. Yes. Okay, so it's the last scene and it's a group chat that Zach has arranged between Michelle, Jesse, Kristen, and himself. Yes. And Jesse's going in hot. He's hostile AF. Okay. The dude has major anger issues. He flipped the fuck out when Kristen calls her Jasmine by accident. What was that about?
What was that?
What the hell?
I don't actually know why. Am I stupid?
I felt stupid. I watched it 3 times. Like, I don't understand.
It was almost like it was from he was like, oh, you're not going to start that again or something. Like, you're not going to. But like, why would that matter?
I don't know.
Legitimately don't understand. Can somebody please, one of our listeners, please shed some light here? Because I don't understand. Why would that make him flip out?
I don't even know if I want to know the answer. I'm hoping.
I do.
I'm hoping it's because he just was overacting for the show, but ugh.
It seemed too specific.
It did. He's just like slamming the, like, oh, again? Yeah. No! Like, what, dude? What's going on? I do love that Kristen apologizes. And again, she's like, I'm really sorry. I repeated it. And Michelle's like, how dare you? Everyone is denying that comment. They're not really denying it.
No.
Sorry, Michelle.
Even Zach's not really denying it anymore. Yeah. So I commend Kristen for kind of standing her ground there. One thing I did note down that was actually amazing, I don't know if it was before the apology or after, but it must have been before because Jesse and Michelle were standing there alone and she's like shivering. She's cold. And he says, oh, are you cold? You are? And he's like, well, that sucks. You can't have this sick jacket of mine. And he just kind of like pulls it tighter around himself. And she's like shivering.
Oh, my God. I didn't notice that.
It was good. It was good.
God, he's such a douche.
Yeah. No, he really is. He comes back. So they have that awkward exchange where Kristen apologizes, but in Michelle's opinion, doesn't really apologize. And Michelle's like, well, I need space or whatever. And
I believe that you need some help.
Yes.
Whoa. That is a burn. That to go was, take it all the way back. That is a wicked burn.
Ouch is what that is. Yeah. Oof. Mm. And I think we're going to see this cast really lay in a lot every time Kristen does anything. It's going to be crazy Kristen.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. I'm sure Kristen expected it.
Yeah.
I was surprised even at the beginning of this episode, like Jax kind of defended her. Guys, we're all ganging up on one person here. Mm. That was a little shocking to me.
That's going back to my hypothesis that Jax is banging Kristen.
You're not the only one who thinks that.
Because it's true. But yeah, we kind of end here with Zach not letting it end here. He turns to Kristen and he's like, well, did you want to say anything to Zach? Did you want to say anything to Jesse? Like, what?
He's so aggressive. He's so pushy about it.
He's not really making eye contact with anybody. No. He's just there to facilitate. And I'm like, do you want to say anything to anybody, Zach?
He's a witness.
I guess. There for moral support because Luke's not. But I'm just like, what are you doing here, Zach? What are you doing, buddy?
We need Zach because I think he is the only funny one on this cast, like actually trying to be funny.
That's fair.
Jax is funny because he's just so terrible.
Yeah, Jax is accidentally funny.
Correct, yeah.
Which is kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
Most of the time it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the Valley. I mean, there's only 2 episodes left, so.
Yeah, that's weird. Why did they do that?
Guess it was like a pilot program. I don't know.
I suppose. But even like the first season Vanderpump Rules wasn't a pilot.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they didn't really know if it was going to take off or not, so they didn't want to invest that much money. It's the same thing with Jax's bar, right? Like, it's not like a real bar. This is not like a real show. I feel as if we're going to just be really getting into the nitty-gritty of this drama and it's going to end.
I know. I wish it was at least 10 episodes. Like, come on. Like,
I feel like I've invested brain power into this season, like into this show that That's was right. wasted.
I'm like, Danny, Jesse, Nia.
Exactly.
Luke.
I'm finally starting to memorize the names and now you're gone. Okay, cool. Great. Great. But
suck us in though.
Well, that was The Valley. Make sure if you guys haven't yet, go head on over to our Instagram, Hopeless Not Truthless Podcast, and join our giveaway because we want to give you some prizes.
Yes, come on over. Join us over there. You can also find us on TikTok. We're kind of on Twitter, but it's scary. So we do that sometimes.
Make it less scary for us.
Yeah. And if you ever want to leave us a comment in Spotify, please do that. You can also give us a 5-star rating or a review. You know, whatever.
You can also DM us. We love talking to you guys. We do love DMs. And have some really great chats. So, yeah, make sure you reach out or not. Do whatever you want to do. But we love you either way. And hope you're having a great week/weekend. But until next time, stay truthful.
But not hopeless.
I didn't really mean do what you want to do. Like, we do love you guys. That sounded flippant.
We do. We have so much love for you guys. For real. And we are serious. DM us if you want to tell us anything. Okay, bye.
Yeah, if you want to have a chat. Tell us all the things. I know we asked questions. I don't remember what they are now. Oh, I want hairstylists to please let me know if Joe's a real hairstylist. And there is another question too, but I forget.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.